he's with me when I'm washing the dishes and when I'm going grocery shopping and when I'm doing all of the things. And he's not waiting impatiently for me with my Bible, you know, ready to pounce on me because I didn't show up yesterday. And so I have just found so much grace in recognizing that I'm not a slave to the law, but I can live by the Spirit. And sometimes that looks different than what I might expect it to.
Welcome to Believe and Become, Spirit-led breakthrough for transformation that lasts.
We're Josh and Karina Grieger, authors, speakers, and freedom coaches who help Christians like you break free from anxiety, burnout, and spiritual frustration by renewing your mind and walking in truth.
If you're hungry for real, lasting change and ready to grow in identity, peace, and purpose, you're in the right place.
Let's believe what God says and become who He created us to be. Friends, and welcome to episode 2 of the Believe and Become podcast. We are Josh and Karina, and we are here to host you today. And we are talking about grace. What is grace? What does it mean? And how does it affect your life?
Yeah, I think grace is such an important concept to understand. I really didn't understand it for a very long time because I was always trying to perform to earn God's favor. You know, growing up, it was just a set of rules that I needed to follow. And then eventually I realized that God was more interested in a relationship with me and that He actually gives me the power to change and gives me the ability to do what He's asked me to do. Yeah. I don't have to do it on my own. And that is so powerful when you go from, one, I don't have to earn God's love. I don't have to perform for Him to love me or to be pleased with me. I can rely on my relationship with Jesus. That makes me righteous before Him. And He delights in me because of who I am, who He created me to be. But then there's this whole other layer to grace besides. So it's defined as God's unmerited favor. So when we get something that we don't deserve, so we don't deserve for our sins to be forgiven through mm-hmm. Jesus' work on the cross. Mm-hmm. But through God's grace, He got rid of our sins and made us pure before Him and cleansed us. And so that's His unmerited favor, which is amazing. That's incredible. So when we start to live by grace, we realize that I have God's favor in my life for whatever He has called me to do. But then beyond that, I start to understand that because of God's nature, He would never command us to do something that we couldn't do. Like He doesn't say, here's all my commands. Here's the things I want you to do. Good luck. He's just not like that. Because if, you know, think of me as an earthly father to my kids. If I go, okay, I want you guys to, go clean the whole garage, change the oil in the car, give them a bunch of impossible tasks. Say, good luck, you know, not show them how to do that, not give them the proper tools. I would be a terrible father, right?
Yeah.
And God is not a terrible father. He's the best father
That's for sure.
that we could ever ask for. And so He actually gives us the power to do what He asks us to do. He gives us the power to change and to transform. He actually does the work in us. And our job is just to partner with what He's doing, to yield to His process of transformation and allow Him to do that work inside of us. And once I understood that, that is when I really started to see the transformation happen in my life.
Yeah. I think grace can be such a controversial word in the church, because there's some of us who are all grace, and then there's some of us who are grace plus. Paul even addresses it in Romans, this idea that, like, well, since I have all this grace, then I could just do whatever I want. And I think that when we look at grace that way, you know, this just unmerited favor only, then you can get a little sideways, right? You can get a little wonky there. But when you add this aspect of the transformational power of grace, there's something in there that draws you to closer to God, into relationship with Him because of His grace. And I think that even as a parent, looking at that relationship with our kids or even with each other, when I have grace with you, I'm not necessarily saying, like, well, you did that thing that I didn't like, but it's okay. No, I'm saying I'm inviting you into deeper relationship. And I'm saying, hey, I didn't really like that, but I'm going to forgive you and let's work on it together. And so I'm opening up and inviting into deeper relationship. And I think that's what grace really can do. I think people want to kind of paint God with this, like, free, like, it's all love and all grace and just do whatever you want. And it's okay because I love you and I'm so gracious. But it's actually an invitation into greater communion with Him when He says, hey, I forgive you. because that's not who you are, then he is drawing you deeper into relationship with him and saying, hey, look, if you hang out with me, I'm going to show you how to do that differently. I'm going to show you how to walk like me and how to be better in this area. And I just think that's so beautiful.
So powerful.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about Romans chapter 8. Just those first two verses have been really impactful to me, and actually wrote about this in my book, Transformed by Truth. And I have a whole chapter on it. So if you want to learn more about my story and the things that I've learned here, you can go grab that on Amazon. But I wanted to just read these verses and then talk a little bit about it. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That law of sin and death is religion. That is our attempt to get to God by our works, which you mentioned earlier. When we're trying in our own effort to be good enough, to be holy enough, to live a life worthy of the calling, because that's what we're supposed to do, we get ourselves stuck back into the law that Jesus died to set us free from. And it makes us vulnerable to condemnation. It makes us vulnerable to believing lies. And it really brings a barrier between us and our Father, who is just trying to be gracious to us. And I used to read these verses and feel so condemned. Like, I am not living by the Spirit because I don't know how to do X, Y, Z, fill in the blank, or I don't know how to get out of this sin pattern or whatever it might be. And so I would just read condemnation here. But the reality is that Jesus set us free to live according to the Spirit. And that is grace. That is his grace, that we can live according to the Spirit, and we don't have to do it on our own. I don't have to try to be a better person or try to walk by the Spirit. I just have to be in relationship, in communion with him, and do the things that he is speaking to my heart to do, listen and go in the direction that he's calling me. Growing up, I was a really good student. I always got my homework done and I got good grades and I was very proud of that. And I think that I inadvertently began to approach my Christian walk in much the same way of I need to do my homework and I need to earn the righteousness badge that I am proudly wearing already. So I don't know what I was thinking, but I just thought it was my own responsibility. And I think there was a little bit of spiritual pride in there too, of like, look how good I could be. But it was basically like my devotions were like my homework, you know, and not in a good way of like, you know, something, I don't know. Some people think homework is good. I don't think homework is good. That's just me personally. So when I would see my devotions as homework, this was like something that I had to get done, something that I had to do to make the grade or to be acceptable for my teacher to like me, right? It was such a negative perspective for me to view my personal walk with the Lord through this lens of performance. And I really felt like if I didn't do it, then God was mad at me. So I would, you know, go to camp or have a really great youth service or whatever, and then be like, I'm going to read my Bible every day. Our son just did this recently. He went to conference last year and he came home and he's like, I just love God so much. I'm going to read my Bible every day and I'm going to get up at 5 a.m. And, you know, you see yourself there and you don't want to be the party pooper that's like, dude, you're not going to do that. And so instead we were like, hey, let's maybe make a more tangible goal that will continue to be something that you can do even like when you don't feel like it. Because I think for me, and maybe you can resonate with that, that was always a thing. It was like, you're setting these huge impossible goals for yourself. Yes. Of like, I want to be the best Christian ever. And so I'm going to witness to 7 people every day and I'm going to read my Bible for an hour and then I'm going to worship. Like we would set these impossible goals. And then the minute that you oversleep or you don't feel like talking to that person, it just becomes condemnation. And it just really easily turns into every time I walk past my Bible, it's like, hey, you haven't opened me in quite a while. And so obviously the Bible would never say that to me. Those are the thoughts that I'm hearing. And so it just would quickly spiral into guilt, condemnation, shame. You're not doing enough. And even if it would be like, I could spend 5 minutes, it's not enough. And so I really had to begin to see my relationship with the Lord as a relationship and not as a taskmaster or a teacher even and a student, but a father and a child. And what he wants is for me to be like him. And so in order to do that, I need to spend time with him. And because I love him, then I will do the things that he asks me to do. And so when my heart began to be formed by love instead of by duty, then I could walk in freedom. And my devotional life became a joy. And I still don't do it every day. I don't every single day sit down with my Bible or find a quiet moment to escape and be with the Lord. And sometimes when I do find quiet moments, I fall asleep. I'm not going to lie. I don't necessarily spend them, you know, in an encounter in the heavenlies. But I've learned that that's okay too, because there's grace for me. And he's with me when I'm washing the dishes and when I'm going grocery shopping and when I'm doing all of the things. And he's not necessarily waiting impatiently for me with my Bible, you know, ready to pounce on me because I didn't show up yesterday. And so I have just found so much grace in recognizing that I'm not a slave to the law, but I can live by the Spirit. And sometimes that looks different than what I might expect it to. And so just finding grace for myself in different seasons. I could talk about this forever, but what do you have to say?
I think that's so powerful when we understand that God does not expect us to be perfect.
Yeah.
I know for a long time I was trying to be perfect, and I would, you know, you really can't be perfect for very long.
No.
As a human.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Mere mortals, we keep making mistakes. And the thing is, God knows that about us.
Yeah.
He doesn't expect us to be perfect. He's not sitting up in heaven with his clipboard and his pencil waiting to make black marks on your record as you mess up. Yeah. He knows us. He created us. He knows the mistakes that we're going to make. Mm-hmm. And he's okay with that. But ultimately, he's crafting and creating our lives and working everything together for our good. Mm-hmm. And even the mistakes that we make, he is way bigger than those. He Absolutely. Can redeem and forgive any mistake. And that's what he wants to do. And he's using all of our life experiences to shape us into who we're created to be. It's getting rid of that perfectionism. Receiving God's grace is so powerful. One of my favorite sayings from one of our mentors, Steve Backlund, is we celebrate progress, not perfection.
Yeah.
And that's a great way to evaluate our lives. Am I moving forward in my relationship with God? Am I doing better than I did yesterday or last month or last year? And that is just a much healthier way to live than just counting up your mistakes against yourself. That's the opposite of grace. And, you know, we need to get past that. But the verse that I wanted to share on this episode is Ephesians 4:29. It says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." And I actually memorized this scripture when I was in high school, and it's emphasized how basically controlling what you're saying to other people, which is good. It's important. We want to be positive influences to everyone around us and to encourage others. But that very last part of the verse that says that it may impart grace to the hearers is so powerful. It means that a word of encouragement actually gives grace to people to change. It imparts God's supernatural power to other people to change their lives. And so even right now, as you're listening to this podcast, God is imparting grace to you, his supernatural power to change, to be different, to overcome all of those obstacles in your life. Maybe you have a sin pattern that you're stuck in or a pattern of negative thinking. God is giving you his power to change right now. All you have to do is receive it. So I'm giving you an encouraging word that you can be different, that you can see God move powerfully in your life. And an example of that is a few years back, more than that now, I guess, maybe 5 years ago, I started to see a Christian counselor to just try to overcome some of the fear, the anxiety that I had in my life, and to try to move forward, not mm-hmm. to be stuck. Yeah. And really, through that process, my counselor said, "You can do this. Is that a change that you want to make in your life? You can do that. You have the power to do that. God has given you the power to do that." And those words of encouragement helped me make decisions that I hadn't been able to make for 10, 15 years before in my life that I had wanted to. I wanted to quit my job and to move into what I knew God had called me to do and to really take a step of faith and allow him to carry our family. And it was only through those encouraging words that God's grace was imparted to me that I could actually make such a big change. And it's been amazing. all along through my life, God has brought people into my life that have spoke encouragement over me, that have helped me to change, helped me to grow. And I have a great mentor, Connie Jones, all last year was encouraging me, you can write this book. I've always wanted to write a book. And she gave that encouraging word is all it took. You can do this. You can write a book. Lives are going to be changed through what you're writing and what you've experienced in your life. And you need to share that word with others. And so maybe you have someone in your life that God is bringing to mind right now that needs some encouragement. Don't underestimate how powerful those words of encouragement can be. How amazing is it that God allows us to impart his grace to other people around us just through a word of encouragement? That is crazy to me. And it's such a privilege to be able to work alongside him and partner with him to see his will, his desire done on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen to that. I think this is such an interesting way to evaluate the words that you speak to people over your children, over your friends, over your family members, just to think about what am I saying? And is it something that I want them to have the ability to do? You know, when someone's getting on your nerves or being obnoxious, is that what you want to speak over them? Like, you're so annoying. Is that what you want to give them the grace to do? Probably not. And so how can we encourage? How can we impart grace? What are the things that we want to see grown in the people around us? What do we want them to walk away with? Maybe everybody else is already telling them those negative things, but you're the one that says, hey, I noticed this really great quality in you, and I just wanted to let you know. I just wanted to point out how strong you are. I just wanted to let you know that I see you and you're amazing. You know, what a gift for us to be the ones that get to encourage other people. I think that is, like you said, it's mind-blowing that God gives us such an ability to influence the people around us.
Our words are so powerful. And right now, to the person that's listening to this, God is giving you grace to do what you never thought possible, to live out those dreams that he's put on your heart. You know, that thing that you've been dreaming about, that God has made you passionate about, that thing that gets you really excited to think about, but maybe you're too afraid to step into. God is giving you the power to step into it. He's giving you the power to overcome any obstacle, anything that you've struggled with for years. Right now, God is giving you his grace to overcome that situation.
Yeah.
So we just want to wrap this up with asking you, what in your life feels like striving? Any place where there's striving, it means that we're not living by God's grace. We're trying hard. We're trying to either earn his favor, or we're trying to do something by our own power, our own strength, when we don't have to. We don't have to do that. We can always rely on God's strength. He has more than enough for anything that we face in our lives. So just take a moment to evaluate, where am I striving in my life? Where am I trying really hard? Where am I not relying on God in order to be successful in my life, or to do what he's asking me to do? So think about that area. And then take some time just to release that to God and say, God, what does it look like for me to depend on you in this situation and allow you to work in my life and not to rely on myself? And so I just want to pray for you right now. God, I thank you for the person that's listening to this. We just bless them in every aspect of their life. And God, we thank you that you are so good to empower us in every aspect of our life, whatever it is that they're struggling with, Lord. We just pray that you would show up and reveal to them what it means to rely fully on you, to rely on your grace and your supernatural power to change. And God, we just release a fresh revelation of your love for them, of your incredible, incredible desire for them to live free from sin, to live free from fear, from lies that they're believing, God. We thank you that right now you're releasing truth over them. Breaking down those strongholds of thought. You're breaking down those repeated cycles, Lord. And you're changing. You're making a big change today. We thank you, God, that you are so good. And we just bless you, Lord. We thank you for the work that you're doing in this one's life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thanks for listening, friend. We are so grateful to have you with us. If you want to subscribe to our podcast, leave a review, share it with friends, that would mean so much to us. And if you would like to check out our books on Amazon, Josh's book is called 40 Days to Peace, and mine is Transformed by Truth. You can check those out on Amazon. And if you'd like to work with us, or you need help really receiving that grace and you just would like someone to talk to, you can check us out at joshandkarina.com/coaching. And all those links will be in the show notes. But thanks so much for joining us. And we can't wait to be with you again next time.